Media radio station and on the app.
CBS News Brief. Hurricane Helene is aiming for Florida, and meteorologist David Parkinson tells us it could make landfall as a Category 3.
This storm is going to rapidly intensify. It's over some of the warmest water on Earth. There is no shear to tear it apart. There is no dry air to come in.
It could make landfall tomorrow evening. Israel signaled today it could launch a ground operation in Lebanon after Hezbollah targeted Tel Aviv with a missile. Pentagon spokeswoman Sabrina Singh.
We certainly don't want to see any action taken that could lead to further escalation in the region.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky addressed the UN General Assembly today and said Vladimir Putin has sinister plans.
Now Putin does seem to be planning attacks on our nuclear power plants and the infrastructure, aiming to disconnect the plants from the power grid.
A power grid that Europe is helping to rebuild. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammy McCormick.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. We used to call it Schwann's. Now the owners of Yellow, with an O, tell Wisconsin workforce officials it's getting out of the frozen food delivery business in November. The company is based in Minnesota. It's been delivering frozen food to homes since 1952. 79 people in Wisconsin will lose their jobs. The company blames problems with staffing and the food supply chain. Small farmers want the next farm bill to safeguard against weather disruptions caused by climate change. Chuck Anderis is with the Michael Fields Agricultural Institute.
These practices infiltrate more water and hold more water in the soil and make a huge difference on the amount of water coming off of farm fields.
The current farm bill expires in less than a week. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Nominations for the Wisconsin Rapids Area Sports Commission close on Friday. This year, WRASC has added two new categories in addition to the MVP award. They are Rookie of the Year Award and the Lifetime Achievement Award. You can find the full list of requirements and submit a nomination at visitwisrapids.com. You can also pick up a paper copy at the Wisconsin Rapids Area Convention and Visitors Bureau. Nominations are due on Friday. Culver's is bringing back the Curter Burger. It all started with an April Fool's joke in 2021. Culver's tweeted that they'd make a burger topped with a patty of cheese curds, but people went nuts for the idea, so they made it a reality. When it first debuted, a fifth of Culver's locations set single-day sales records. This year, you'll be able to get the Curter Burger from October 1st to October 14th. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Potential playoff preview looms this week. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. The Milwaukee Brewers are all but locked into the third seed in next month's MLB playoffs. The NL Central champions beat Pittsburgh yesterday 7-2. The Brewers will play the Pirates again this evening. This weekend, Milwaukee takes on the New York Mets in what could be a playoff matchup. Green Bay has won two in a row with backup quarterback Malik Willis at the helm. Willis said he has to be prepared if his number is called.
And I've had a lot of time to just, you know, work hard and just grind every day in order to make use of my next opportunity, which I've been just trying to do this last 2 weeks. And I think more than anything, you just try to continue to work hard and understand that you don't know when the opportunity will come, but you have to be ready for it if you get it.
Starting quarterback Jordan Love, who practiced all of last week, has missed two games with an MCL sprain, but could return this week. Kickoff against the Minnesota Vikings is at noon on Sunday. The Milwaukee Bucks are making a, quote, major ownership announcement Thursday morning. Bucks co-owner Jimmy Haslam will be speaking. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A clear sky tonight, a low around 50. Mostly sunny and warmer for tomorrow, a high in the upper 70s, and near 80 degrees and mostly sunny Friday. For the upcoming weekend, more sunshine than clouds and temps stay mild with highs around 80. Currently at 75 degrees.
Afternoon, Wisconsin. Welcome to WFHR's Playmakers. Welcome to the show. You are in the game. Welcome. We are here to take your phone calls. 715-424-2600. Phone lines are wide open for an episode of Wednesday edition of Playmakers. Have your host, James, here. I'm joined by our good friend, Michael Comer. Michael, good to have you with us.
Good to be back.
We're going to be talking some high school football and high school sports in general with Michael in a little bit. Get into some other things, too. As you heard Jimmy talking about, the Milwaukee Bucks made an announcement this morning. No real news on that yet, but there is some news on the Bucks and some of the things that they are up to. They're going to have a new logo on their jersey. We'll be talking about some of that. Got some stats of the shows for you a little bit later. And part of that involves, I'll just give you a spoiler alert right ahead. I want to talk about what happened to Rowdy Tellez, formerly of the Pittsburgh Pirates. I want to get into that, some other conversations. But before we jump into high school football conversation, Michael, I did want to throw this out there because the story broke just a little bit ago before we go on air here. Minnesota Vikings running back Aaron Jones has a plan already set if he scores a touchdown in his return to Lambeau Field on Sunday. Definitely leaping, according to Jones. Aaron Jones is saying that if he scores a touchdown, he will do a Lambeau leap in a Minnesota Viking jersey. And I want to hear from you and other Packer fans out there how you guys feel about this one, because I feel like this might be a little bit different. I don't know that Aaron Jones left Green Bay as much as was kicked out of Green Bay. And when it comes to that, it's a little bit different than a guy coming back that, you know, chose to leave. Aaron Jones, I don't know how any adult can look at what they offered Aaron Jones or looked at the situation that Aaron Jones was going to walk into, where at the time he was going to be backing up A.J. Dillon. That's what they told him. I don't know how anybody could see that situation and see it as a slight against the Packers that he didn't stay there. Where he chose to sign is also a matter of, hey, nobody wanted him. Not a lot of teams were, you know, calling up Aaron Jones. And I shouldn't say nobody wanted him. Not a lot of teams were looking for his services. He went where the good paycheck was. So there was some of that, too. All that being said, you can throw all that out the window when a guy shows up in a different jersey. So I'm curious where you feel, how you feel about that, how the audience feels. Do you care one way or the other? Yeah, all that, all the above.
It's no different than Brett Favre going over there or Ryan Longwell. It's a business. They've got to do what they've got to do. It's best for them. Granted, they make more money in 1 year than I will ever see in my life. So with that being said, you know, I hope he has a good game. I hope he has fun. I know he has no animosity towards Green Bay. I don't think anyone in Green Bay has any animosity towards him, nor should they. Yeah. And I also said the same thing about Brett Favre. You shouldn't have had any animosity, because Green Bay now is because of him.
Yeah.
Reggie White came to Green Bay because Favre was there. I mean, an up-and-coming quarterback. But anyways, he's going to do what he's going to do.
Yeah,
they got
rid
of him more or less because Jacobs, healthier and younger. Same style, a little more durable. And my biggest complaint about Aaron Jones is the injury started piling up.
Yeah.
I mean, he missed a hamstring that was never really healthy, kind of like a Christian Watson. I think he's kind of on his way out.
McCaffrey.
Well, Christian Watson in Green Bay.
Oh, right. I'm sorry. Because McCaffrey's also dealing with the hamstring issue.
Achilles, actually.
That's one of his injuries. His Achilles and his hamstring are messed up. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But honestly, I'm not surprised that he would. I don't think anyone should be dumping beer on him if he does. I don't think anyone should be flipping him the bird if he does. He's a good guy. Yeah. A legitimate good guy. It's like being nominated for the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award or the Roberto Clemente Award.
Yeah.
You're a good dude if you are nominated for it. And sure, would I like to stay? I mean, could you imagine Jones and Jacobs?
That'd be pretty nice.
But the thing was, their contracts would have been fairly similar.
Yeah.
So you couldn't really keep both, but it would look pretty nice now, seeing as A.J. Dillon is out for the year and Marshawn Lloyd is going to be gone for a while.
Yeah.
And you're on Emmanuel Wilson and Brooks, I think they just signed.
Yeah.
And you got Jacobs that, I mean, you're one injury away from, uh-oh. Now what are we going to do?
You've already dealt with that this season at quarterback, let alone having to deal with on a running force team to have to deal with that. But we'll see where that goes. I'm curious what you guys think out there. Feel free to call up. Phone lines wide open, 715-424-2600. Let's talk a little high school football, and let's rewind for a second because we haven't had a chance to hang out since you worked over the weekend and the games were played, of course. I don't know if we can come to these games if you want to, and any notes you have on Assumption losing to Abbotsford 56-20 or Lincoln losing to Wausau West 21-6. I was going to put Port Edwards losing to New Auburn 36-28. I was going to focus on Nakusa in part because we are covering them this week, but if you have any notes on those other games or anything?
Assumption, when you suit up 14 kids against a number 3 ranked team in the state, what do you think is going to happen?
Yeah.
It's just a tough go of it. And if you want to think positively, which I try to, I mean, it doesn't always work because the world isn't a real positive place. But if you want to think positively, it gets a lot easier after this week for the Royals.
There you go.
You got Edgar, the defending state champion, and I think, not saying a miracle can't happen, but... And I shouldn't even say a miracle, but I don't like the prospects for that for the Royals, personally. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But you never know.
Yeah.
A few
yeah.
weird, fluky turnovers and mm-hmm. eat up clock, and you get a couple guys back, which I'm hoping the Royals do. You never know. You get the Royals there, and then after that, they are at Pittsville, which is a winnable game. They've only won one game. Then they host Auburndale, which could be another tougher one. Mm-hmm. But then they're home against a Rosholt. The last three games, 2 out of 3 are very winnable.
Yeah, and especially after a season like this that they've already experienced.
Oh, yeah, it's been a tough go.
If you can wrap up on a positive, it's almost all you remember from the main part you remember from the season and a great momentum builder for next year.
Yes. Then flipping to Lincoln, even game, and it was just kind of the same bugaboo that got him against Point. Long sustained drives, no points.
Yeah.
They move the ball. They're doing a very good job of that. And then they just can't punch it in. You put a lot more pressure on West than what they had on them. Because they had to come back from behind early because Rapid scored first. But you just when you have the chance to score, you got to score. That's Rapid's thing. And this is a winnable game, I think.
That's the thing.
In the battle for Wood County, what I like to call it, the battle for mm-hmm. Wood County. Mm-hmm. They got to go up to Kenneth and Ardice Hiding Community Stadium, and that beautiful facility up in Marshfield. So if you get a chance, I suggest going up there.
Oh, yeah. Check your game out there.
Oh, it's beautiful. That's a winnable game. Marshfield, I think, only has one win. Mm. Rapid's still searching for theirs. What better way to win it against your cross-county rival?
Yeah.
That's one thing I'll say with that. Then jumping to Port Edwards. In a philosophy in life that I don't partake to, that everybody's a winner. Mm-hmm. That game, literally, everybody's a winner because New Auburn was playing Port because New Auburn's opponent had forfeited the game, so counted as a win. Mm. Port's opponent, Bowler Gresham, they forfeited that game.
Huh.
So they were able, fortunately, schedule New Auburn.
Just to play.
Yeah. And the downside is because Port lost, it does kind of go against them in terms of seeding for playoffs.
Yeah.
But Port's in control of that conference for the championship right now. They're the only team undefeated in the conference left. They beat Alban Bancroft. They got Newman coming up next week. And you got to say it like Seinfeld. Newman. Yeah, that's honestly how I feel about it sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not great Newman. But they've got, believe it or not, Tri-County game of the year. Uh-huh. They've only lost one game in conference, too. So, I mean, the fighting Penguins there. That's not your regular Emperor Penguin. I think it's actually the Batman Penguin there.
It's a little bit.
The fighting Danny DeVito.
Yes. Which would make a great logo. Even just the fight DeVito's. I kind of like that.
I like that. Well, that's
Danny
what I
DeVito
actually...
DeVito from Taxi. Just a logo of him. One of the things
that I just thought was hilarious, two pre-seasons ago, and granted, it was a couple beers, too. it was when I saw Daniel Jones, his or there was a quarterback on the Giants. Mm. It was DeVito.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and I'm like, oh, well, that's irony. Last name DeVito, and he's on the Giants. So yeah. Come on, you know, what the heck's going
just,
on here?
It just feels too on the nose. It almost feels too
well. But in that Port Edwards game, they were up 28-14 in the fourth quarter, and they gave up however many points that is. I'm 22 points in the fourth quarter, and they dropped the game, unfortunately. But now the big one you wanted to talk about, the Nakusa game, that one I think I've been right so far when I've called that. I think this could be a really fun, entertaining, close game, back and forth. Both teams are 4-1. Both teams are 2-1 in the conference. Nakusa, tough, stingy defense. They're only allowing about 10 points per game.
Coming off a shutout.
Right, and they're scoring in their second shutout of the season. Second,
man, didn't realize
and,
that.
And then you got their offense, which averages about 20, 24 points a game. Mm-hmm. Then you got Waupun. They're a little more pass happy than running the ball. They allow more points, but they also score more points. Yeah, yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see how that pass defense, and that's one thing I have seen over the years, is a defense. Nothing against John Russell, because I've said him many times. I love the guy. Just an awesome guy.
Yeah.
His defenses sometimes have been prone to being beat up through the air.
Yeah.
But I think those kids are wanting to make a statement because they're still very much in the chase for the conference.
Mm-hmm.
There's no common opponents between the teams that I can remember off the top of my head. The Dells, they beat Waupun by 20.
Hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I saw that.
So,
yeah.
Granted, Nakusa doesn't play the Dells till the last week, but, I mean, that's instead of being a kind of a flyway, trailways conference opponent, it was a true South Central Conference opponent, and they beat. And even against Adams Friendship had them dead to rights, but they gave up about 20 points, almost 30 points in that second half and didn't score any. So Adams kind of let him off the hook in the words of Denny Green. God rest his soul. But but the thing is, I think this is going to be a fun one. It's going to be Nakusa's defense, how many turnovers they can get, how they can pound the ball with that wing tee offense. I'm prepared to make a bunch of mistakes because I cannot follow. I can follow a triple option out of the wishbone. I cannot follow the wing tee offense and all the counters and waggles and dives and pitches. I can't do it.
I'm surprised the players can half the time, let alone those of us watching.
If that's all you know in practice, okay, I'll give you that. But for me, I cannot follow it for whatever reason. So be prepared for a lot of mistakes on my part. But.
You know, and when it comes to these games, and that, this, I don't mean this in any critique or anything, but we don't often get you have two, you know, exciting offenses in high school football. Oftentimes it's a running game. It's something that you're going to, you know, get a very low-scoring game or something like that, or tends to be a little more one-sided or something. A game like this with Nakusa and Waupun, not only are we really happy to be able to bring it to you, happy to be hearing it, it's happening. It's a fun game. That's going to be a good one. Everything you said about Marshfield and Rapids is also a good one right there, I think. We've got some exciting games on the docket this week. And really, to me, at the last, 20% of the season, 10% of the season, whatever you want to say, it's a playoff week every week in the sense of it might, you know, for some of these kids, it's their last game. You know, they're not going to the playoffs. And they may not even go and play in college or anything like that. So this might be the last time they suit up. That, to me, makes it a playoff atmosphere, along with just trying to salvage your season in some ways, like you were saying, with Rapids and Marshfield and some of those things.
Well, Rapids and Assumption are in the same spot. They're both searching for their first wins. And I'd have to check the math with me, even math, no. I really going to have to work on that.
Yeah.
But they, I think, losses this week would almost all but eliminate them. Because you have to have at least a 500 record. You have to have a winning record in conference for sure to be in. And I'm going off the top of my head, and they've changed some of this criteria.
Mm-hmm.
But they're very similar again, because two out of those last 3 weeks, assuming they both don't win this week, two out of those last 3 weeks are very winnable games with, as I said, Pittsville and Rochefort for the Royals. And Rapids, they got both Eau Claire schools, and they're both really struggling. And then they got New Richmond in there, who's still undefeated in the other half of the Big Rivers Conference. And that, between them and Rice Lake. That's, I don't think they've played yet. They're going to play. It's going to be a fun one. That would be a fun one to watch. But we'll see. I mean, but the thing is, we're talking football playoffs. Mm-hmm. We're just about there in girls golf and tennis. And we just had Assumption Girls. They joined a conference for the first time this year. They had first team all conference number one doubles between Sarah Shaw and Addie Vollert. Those are two names that are pretty familiar with at Assumption. And another one, Ari Cavanaugh. I believe she was number one singles. She was a second team all conference. And then Rapids Girls Golf. They just wrapped up their regular season yesterday.
Said something about that.
Yep. As they took second overall as a team in high school golf. You have mm-hmm. five scoring golfers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, four of them are on the second team, and one's on the honorable mention.
Nice.
So they're pretty solid. Wow. Pretty solid team.
Yeah.
Marshfield won their first one in program history, conference title, that is.
Wow, congrats to them.
Yeah, Marshfield had a heck of a season, and they have nothing to be ashamed of there, neither does Rapids. We're talking playoffs, and that's going to be starting, I believe, regionals next week or the week after. I mean, cross country's coming up. Mm. Assumption Girls are still ranked number one in the state in Division III. They only will lose one girl after this team, but they're probably going to move up to Division II with a competitive balance.
Yeah, yeah.
But, man, this is fall sports. We're, in the words of Chris Berman, tick, 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 yep. tick. It's going fast.
It's such an exciting part of the year. We just get right going in the school season, right with all of this. Boom, 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 boom.
The NFL and Major League Baseball players, I mean, like that triple play. I turned it off and went to bed right before it happened. So I woke up this morning and felt like a bigger idiot than normal. So I missed that. But
imagine, you know, nailing a playoff spot on a triple play.
Yeah.
I can't imagine how that's got to feel. That's awesome.
Right. And I like it because it's Mike Shilton. Why St. Louis got rid of him, I'll never understand. But he's done a great job with the Padres, and kudos to him. I mean, Padres, they've got the third best record in the National League. It's just they're behind the Dodgers.
I think you can make the argument that they're the hottest team in baseball. They're easily one of the teams that nobody wants to play right now.
Right.
Nobody wants to play them.
Now it would be a 4-5 matchup, so who would be the five when arguably they could be the three? In terms of record, if you want to go that route, and I'm not saying that to pick a fight with the Brewer fans, but the Brewers aren't playing the way they want to right now. Mm. I mean, they just dropped a bunch to the Diamondbacks.
They could
face them first round.
We're going to see an exciting every round. I believe is going to be exciting in the MLB playoffs. I cannot wait for that. This feels like one of those times where when you're doing a play and you've got a week left of rehearsals, but you want to go on now. Like let's do it now. We're ready now. Let's go. It feels like that with MLB playoffs. Just wrapping up some of our high school talk, Michael. Before we go to our first time out. Some of there were some conference changes this year in football.
Yes.
How do you think those are playing out so far?
I think in terms of, let's just go down the list.
Okay. Sure.
Start with Wisconsin Rapids Lincoln. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's impacted them much. Mm-hmm. I mean, you took Appleton West off, which is almost always was a win.
Mm-hmm.
You took Hortonville off, which was, it was give and take.
Yeah.
Get rid of Wausau East because they moved out of the conference.
Mm-hmm.
That was almost always a W.
Yeah.
So you maybe made it tougher. The Eau Claire schools are both having down years, so maybe that you just replaced West and East there. Mm-hmm. Appleton West, respectively, and Wausau East. Otherwise, you still got tough games night in, night out, the non-conference games. They're tough. Rapids runs from nobody.
Mm.
Assumption, I think, it made things even worse for them. Mm. Not like I said, nothing against them, Sully, the kids, or the program, but when you move into what was the Marrowood in the history of the Marrowood with Edgar and Marathon, Marathon's in a different conference, but it was Pittsville was always part of that, and I think it did not help the Royals one bit.
Yeah,
and then Nakusa, I think it helped them because they were in the conference with your Wyoega, Fremont, Stratford, Amherst, Wittenberg, Burnhamwood, and Nakusa, not a bad team, good athletes, good kids, good coaching. They're getting the brains beat in because where they are isn't to that level of a Stratford or Wittenberg, Burnhamwood, or Amherst. Mm-hmm. And anyone that knows about it would sit there and probably say, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Port Edwards, nothing really changed there much other than really the name of the conference. to the Mideast Conference, or they call the Central Wisconsin Conference small, or or whatever it is now. That's going to be changing next year too, with Rosholt jumping down. They've applied for membership. That they're going to have, Buller Gresham's going to have to figure out whether they're going to play football anymore.
Yeah.
So they might get kicked out and bring in Rosholt. And then,
I can see that.
I mean, if and when any other schools jump, then we could maybe see the Menominee Indian Reservation getting bumped out of there, because that's a heck of a trip.
Mm-hmm.
Or Marion Tigerton, or even Newman getting bumped out to if another local school goes in. I mean, it could be Pittsville. I don't know.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Like I said, I don't think it bothered. I think it bothered Port the least. It probably helped Nakusa. Rapids is so-so, and I think it really negatively impacted Assumption.
And we're going to see the effects of that, the aftermath of that, after this season and the offseason, with all these teams, good and bad, which way it goes. Have you heard anything from players or coaches or anything as far as the conference changes, anything like that?
Just when I was doing season preview stuff, that was, you know, Coach Sullivan at Assumption. He's like, we're going to play whoever we have on our sheet. Nothing we can do about it. We just got to line up and do it.
Yeah.
And talking to Derek Baker out of Nakusa, he pretty much just said, those teams that we do not play now, they showed us what it takes to be where we want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And playing them maybe made us tougher and got us a leg up on some of the other competition of what it takes to be there. I mean, in his exact words were, those Stratfords and Amhersts are where we want to be in 10 years. They are there now where we want to be in 10 years or less. So, honestly, again, he was like, well, maybe got easier for us. But then again, if it weakens us that we can't compete against some of those teams after, then what does it really do for us?
Right, right. And, of course, we're going to have a great schedule of high school football for you. This week, looking ahead, you've got Edgar versus Assumption on Friday night at 7. Rapids traveling to Marshfield to take on the Tigers at 7. Port going against Marion Tigerton at 7. And, of course, the game that we are going to have for you right on our sister station, 105.5 WIRI. We have Nakusa hosting Waupun. Mike and Seth are going to cover this one for you. You know it's going to sound good with that tag team. Our 6:50, our pregame will kick off for that one. Looking forward to it. We'll have a Playmakers to lead you into it. Tonight, we're leading you into the Luke Fickell Show at 7:05. Be sure to stick around for that, everybody. And I want to remind everyone, before we go to break, our great friends at the United Way of Southwood and the Adams Counties have their 52nd annual United Way Day at McDonald's going on right now. You got until 7 o'clock to get on over there. Any Mickey D's that you buy, a portion of the proceeds is going to help the United Way, which helps you, helps our community. United Way puts everything right back into this community. It's a great way to help yourself and get some good food while you're at it. Go join them over at the United Way today for the 52nd annual United Way Day at McDonald's. You got until 7 o'clock to do that, everybody. We'll take a quick time out. We'll come back and have some more fun here on Playmakers, proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Rapids.
Temperatures are falling. The dew is cold and crisp, and your breath is hanging in the air. It's time to dress in our favorite Wisconsin attire. It's hoodie season. This season, show your personality through your clothes by customizing your long-sleeve shirts, sweatshirts, sports workout gear, and more. Don't let today's style wear you. Call Wham Incorporated today. 715-423-9465. Be bold, be you, and be confident. Wham Incorporated. 8th Street South, Wisconsin Rapids. 715-423-9465.
Luann Goetz is your local Wisconsin Rapids Medicare specialist. For over 27 years, she's been helping individuals find the right Medicare coverage and is dedicated to ensuring you get the best plan for your needs. If you're nearing Medicare age or considering a switch, let Luann guide you through the process. With her personalized service and commitment to your health, you are in safe hands. Your Medicare peace of mind starts with Luann Goetz. Call 715-424-4393 today or visit ticinsurance.com.
Meet Ingrid, fiery spirit, caring grandma, proud trucker.
I've logged more than 4 million miles in my truck. If people knew what I know, lives could be saved. I was driving outside of Ohio when a gentleman stopped suddenly in front of me. But it takes my 80,000-pound truck 200 yards to stop. I'd given myself extra room, but it's not a chance worth taking.
It's our roads. It's our safety.
Visit www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach. Coming up on the show, we're going to talk about the things on which we agree. I know they exist. Weather and Wine with Brittany Merlot and Sports with Paul Noonan. Don't miss it.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings at 10.
Hi, everyone. Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A clear sky tonight, a low around 50. Mostly sunny and warmer for tomorrow, a high in the upper 70s. And near 80 degrees and mostly sunny Friday. For the upcoming weekend, more sunshine than clouds and temps stay mild with highs around 80. Currently at 75 degrees.
Welcome everybody to WFHR's Playmakers. Michael and James hanging out with you. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. Phone lines are wide open, 715-424-2600. Hit us up. We'd love to have you join the game. Come on in. We're going to have some fun this next half an hour, everybody. We'll get into a couple of fun topics, but we're going to kick off the half an hour here, half an hour mark, with our stat of the show, show stat. And I've got a couple of them for you, but the first one I have for you right now is the number 4. Which is not only my favorite number, but it is also the number of plate appearances that Rowdy Tellez needed that he was shy of getting a $200,000 bonus from the Pittsburgh Pirates. He was short 4 plate appearances when the Pirates cut him with 6 games left in the season.
Ooh.
Now, Tellez, you might defend this action by, well, he has been having a bad season or something along those lines. Now, he has not been knocking the meat off the ball or anything like that, but he's been having a pretty solid season. Certainly not a bad enough season to where he shouldn't be on the roster. Batting .243, .691 OPS, below average for him, but still not bad, especially for a team that needs bodies, a team that needs leadership and needs, you know, good players and everything. General manager for the Pirates, Ben Cherington, told reporters that the bonus had zero factor in them cutting Tellez. In fact, kind of put it on Tellez that, well, we gave him an opportunity and that was about it. Now, I will admit, I'm a fan of Rowdy Tellez. I liked him when he was with the Brewers. I miss the ball players that look like bowlers. I like guys like him, and I like his attitude. I think he approaches the game well, plays the game with a good heart and all these things. So I admit all that going out forward. And as I've said on the air many times, more times than not, you're going to catch me taking the player's side than the owner's side. In this situation, I don't think that you have to even know anything about sports or even care about or know anything about human beings to have any bit of, like, if you have one little bit of empathy in you at all, how you cannot see this as a horrible business decision. Because with that 200 grand you just saved, you just told every single free agent in baseball what kind of organization you are.
Yeah, don't come to Pittsburgh.
You have no. There is no such thing as a guaranteed anything in Pittsburgh, apparently, which is a real smack in the face to the Pittsburgh Pirates that we kind of grew up with knowing. And maybe they weren't campaigning every year or anything like that, but that was never a bad organization.
Yeah. McCutcheon and there's a whole host of them.
Yeah, a lot of greats. I've never actually had a bad feeling about the Pittsburgh Pirates in my life. This is the first time that I've ever heard anything negative necessarily about them or felt anything negative towards them and where I've rooted against them. But going forward, as long as this GM is there, I can't see rooting for that team. And I cannot imagine, if I am a free agent in baseball, why I would go play in Pittsburgh. It's not as if, now they got some nice players over there, sure.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of teams with nice players. There's a lot of teams with nice young pitchers. I can't imagine wanting to play for an organization that did something like this for two G's, man. And it's not even worth it. If it was $2 million, I would say that. You're playing with, we're talking about monopoly money when we're talking about sports teams.
Yes.
Don't ever forget that, everybody. Don't let any of these owners fool you that they are, we're just scraping by. Whew, you got to feel bad for us. I'm Jerry Jones and I don't have enough money for Derrick Henry. Feel bad for me. Start a GoFundMe for me. Forget about that. Miss me with that. Not one single owner in all of sports is hurting for money. And if they are, they are horrible at their job.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm technically an owner in the Packers, and my financial situation isn't that good.
It's a fair point. Fair point.
So we can go that route. I generally go a little more the opposite way. Mm-hmm. I generally look at ownership a little more positively than I do the players. I'm not a big fan of the players' unions. I'm not a big fan of them at all. But I also look at it like this. Well, 10 years ago, I'd have to go and double-check my records. 10 years ago, what it cost for face value to go to a Packer game. This year, it's $135. I have to look. It was probably right around 100. It was under 100 10 years ago, I'm sure of it. So I'm sitting there thinking, well, this is going up and up and up and up. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the renovations, for an example, Lambeau Field. And football is a little different in that world than baseball is. Because there's so much more that goes into paying those big contracts without the salary cap. But $200,000?
It's not worth the PR.
No,
it's not worth it.
It's not. I mean, I'll take it. If they don't want it, I'll take it. I'll be set for a while.
We as people have more in common with the players than we will ever have with any owner.
Yes.
There is not an owner in all of sports that will look at you if they don't have to. That's not their thing. They don't care.
Right.
And when it comes to any time that the Chicago White Sox are getting done with the worst baseball season any of us have ever seen. And guess what Ryan Soares is going to do next year? Raise ticket prices.
Yep.
And he'll have a defense to that. He'll tell you about the economy. He'll tell you about this. When it comes to sports, everything starts from the top and trickles down.
Mm-hmm.
And the ownership is going to let you have only what they are comfortable with you having, which is nothing.
Yep.
The idea of sports existing without players' unions is terrifying to me.
Oh, it is.
And I could not even imagine watching it. I couldn't even imagine getting into sports. The way that ownership runs these teams and the way they treat fan bases, even getting it, you know, if you want to say what you want to about how they treat players, that's a whole other story. Think about how they treat fans. It's one of the more insulting things that exists in humanity to me, the way that ownership treats fans. And I'm not just picking on one ownership. I'm saying all of it.
Right.
Every single sports franchise.
Right.
Every single team, not just here in America. Look, it's even worse overseas in Europe and everything, the way they treat them. So this example right here is an outlier. I admit that. This doesn't happen every day, what happened to Rowdy Tellez. But every day we have examples of ownership telling you exactly what I am, just not as bluntly.
Right. But I can also flip it around. And for two quick stories about it, my grandfather, he's passed, been gone 4 years now. He absolutely loved Tom Brady and Belichick. He loved him. He just stinking loved him, okay? And I remember when he was at an assisted living facility here a few years before he passed away, he had a stroke, actually. And Super Bowl went on. It was when the Atlanta blew it. Blew it. So, I mean, we were watching that, and Grandpa's getting tired, and he's falling asleep, and it didn't look good. And said, okay, well, Grandpa, I'll see you tomorrow. You know, because, I mean, he's falling asleep. He needs his rest. So I make a beeline to the nearest establishment and watch the end of the game, and holy you-know-what, look what happened. Well, anyways, Grandpa was depressed, and he was feeling down because of the stroke situation, and I actually wrote a letter. I wrote a letter to the Patriots and said, hey, you know, my grandpa absolutely loves you guys. He really loves coach and quarterback. If you could just say, hey, write a letter back to him, just someone saying, hey, hey, we got you, Jerry. You know, we're wishing you the best, everything like that. I didn't expect nothing, not even 2 weeks later, get a great big envelope from Foxborough. And it was, hey, Jerry, we heard about your trouble. And, I mean, so right there, positive there.
That's awesome.
Yep. And then the other one was the Packers and the Cardinals. My dad, he had a car accident, became a quadriplegic. Very, very tough situation for him and me and my mother and my sister, of course, everybody. We could talk about that another day. But anyways, he was a St. Louis boy. Always has been. Always will be. God rest his soul. And Bill DeWitt Jr., wrote, typed up a letter, and he signed it, and he sent some Cardinals swag to my dad. And the Packers did the same thing.
Man, is that cool.
So, I mean, they said, hey, we are sorry about your accident. We know you're a big fan, and we're glad that you were able to visit Busch Stadium and go to a game at Lambeau Field. Hey, we got your back. We're looking. So in that instance, long story short, ownership and companyship, maybe individually the person, they don't care, but the ownership group, they can put on that front and do that. Now, at the same time, and I'm not doing it just to rag on the Chicago Bears, my grandpa was a huge Bears fan. And I wrote a similar letter to the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
Crickets.
I'm a little surprised by that because my story involves the Chicago Bears and a very similar story and everything. First off, though, thank you for sharing all that, brother. I appreciate that. And great examples. Outliers are not great examples and great stories.
Right.
Thank you for sharing that. But I had a similar story with the Bears happen for my cousin and a similar thing with the Blackhawks and another cousin of mine. So these organizations can show some heart from time to time, but they are organizations at the end of the day.
Yes.
I want to get another stat of the show, and this one threw me. And no pun intended by that. I did not mean to do that, but I want to talk about the most pass attempts in college football history. Have you ever heard this one, Michael? Yeah. Do you have any ideas off the top of your head? Because I immediately thought of Tommy Chang in Hawaii and thought for sure he would have the record.
That's just about the one I think of.
That kid, like every God, man, God bless Hawaii football and giving us Saturday nights to look forward to, like that 9 o'clock start time or something like that.
Well, I think there's a good one coming up at 10 o'clock on Saturday night. I forget who it is.
I can't remember. I know what you're talking
about. But it was
going to
be a good
game.
Yeah, I saw that today.
But the record for most pass attempts in college football history is held by Connor Halliday of Washington State.
Makes sense.
Through 89 passes against Oregon on October 19th in 2013, and I don't remember this.
Was that when Mike Leach was there?
It's got to be, right? It's got to be when the Pirate was there.
It's got to be. Because Graham Harrell when he was at Texas Tech, or even Mahomes when he was at Texas Tech.
Yeah.
And even some of those Oklahoma teams, but those thing with those Oklahoma teams is they had pretty good running backs then, too. Yeah. Mixon, P. Ryan. Whole boatload of them.
It's such a weird thing to watch Oklahoma football and not know who the running back is.
Yes.
It just felt like my whole lifetime they always had a running back that you knew who it was.
Yep. Or a quarterback.
Yeah, yeah. And speaking of Oklahoma, we're kind of going near in there. J.J. Harp, so the most ever in Division I is that 89 by Halliday. But Eastern New Mexico's J.J. Harp threw 94 passes in the Division II game against Southeastern Oklahoma in 2009.
Okay.
94 passes.
Man, I hope they iced his arm.
I mean, my God, I don't know if there's enough ice in all of New Mexico for that. I'm not sure. They had to have, though. Thought that was an interesting one and kind of fun to get into. Want to get into sticking with college football a little bit. By now, at this point in the day, most of you that listen to sports talk radio have heard endlessly the talking heads out there talking about the UNLV quarterback Matthew Skull. Left an undefeated Rebels team on Tuesday night over claims of unfulfilled verbal NIL promises from the UNLV assistant coach, a decision that illuminates that kind of shows the frailty of this situation and what a Wild West situation we're in the NIL. As usual, it is the fans that are hurt the most from this.
Yep.
And that part always stings. That always hurts. But there's one quick note I have on this one that I've heard the most consistent about this. I keep hearing people say, this is the ugliness of college. This is the ugliness of NIL. This is the shadiness of NIL. How nasty this is and everything. This is life. This is business. And if you're going to treat this sport like a business, like they have been, then grow up. That's life, man. That's business 101. We're expecting these kids to be adults. That's what this young man is doing. Now, this young man learned a very valuable lesson. Get it in writing. That's number one.
Yep.
But after that, he's got a business decision to make. And how many people out there, if that was your kid, what would you tell them to do? You know what? They lied to you, son, but you got to stay there and keep playing. Or they lied to you, son. You don't have any. You don't owe them anything. There is the loyalty that I just gave you, that Rowdy Tellez story.
Yeah.
How much loyalty did the Pittsburgh Pirates have to him? How many this in the next month or two? You're going to see college football coaches just springing. You're going to see houses on the market. You're going to see them leaving for new the jobs. Yep. How much loyalty do they have to those franchises, right, to those organizations, which college universities are? Like, what are they expecting from this? Why are they expecting something from this young man that they don't expect from these grown men, from these organizations?
Well, first and foremost, you never have to worry about that from Kevin Gundy because he's a man. He's 50.
He's 50.
Man, we reference that every time.
Any chance we can.
We have to.
I got to get that on the sound.
We have to.
I got
it. Yeah. Do it. Next time I'm in here, got to have it. I've never been a fan of the NIL. Mm-hmm. I think you can no longer really be a fan of a program like it was before. Mm-hmm. I mean, Wisconsin, they're going to be tough in the Big. No, they're not. They can't afford to keep up with these Ohio States and Michigans and everything like that. I mean, yeah, you can maybe get the big wing spot down in Madison that, hey, the offensive line eats for free at the wing spot. Mm. But, okay, cool. Or the Bratwurst House or whatever they got in Madison.
Yeah.
They need to structure it better. And to your point, yeah, I think the kid I've learned, someone promises you something, I want that in writing. Mm-hmm. I want a witness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and otherwise, keep your mouth shut and don't hand me that lip service. But at the same time, I've never been a big fan of the NIL because your job is to be a student. And it also impacts the recruiting aspect. Because, I mean, 3-0, he's been playing well. Actually, I started doing some research.
Yeah.
He's been doing well. Mm. Impacts recruiting now, just like when a coach leaves. Well, that's a coach I was going to play for. I'm not going to play for Bozo here who's going to come in. I'm leaving. Okay, yep. And there's that was one thing where I did agree with it, of the transfer portal and the NIL, because it's all intertwined.
Mm-hmm.
Coach leaves, you should be able to leave too if you want.
Yeah.
If the coach gets fired, yeah, that makes things out of wrongdoing. That maybe makes things a little more tricky there. Because, well, you signed, and sure, he did something wrong. I mean, are you punishing the kid? Yeah, but at the same time, kid, you didn't do any. Kid maybe benefit from something they shouldn't have, or mm-hmm. she shouldn't. I don't know why. It's a case-by-case situation.
Absolutely.
But the NIL, they need to wrangle that in, just like the transfer portal, that that needs to be more structured. And this
it's
is
the Wild
one,
West.
Yes, and this is one of the main cases that I would cite to. Yeah, you need to a transfer portal, an NIL. This all needs to have some rules that you have to go by.
This could be example A in a court of law of why we need a governing, why we need some structure with NIL and some of those things. Oftentimes in life, the older I get, the more I realize there are no heroes, there are no villains sometimes. Sometimes they're just people being
circumstance.
People. It's just circumstance. It's just the way that it works out. I don't think that there's anybody good or bad in this situation. I don't think that there's a wrong answer necessarily of how you feel about this. Hey, it doesn't matter how they treated you. You gave your word. You stayed there and finish your season. Or, hey, they lied to you. You have to stand for something in life, or what do you stand for? Except, so there's all kinds of different angles on this.
Yes.
But going to the NIL part of it, the only reason I am a fan of NIL is because I've always been a fan of players getting paid. And if you don't agree with that, that's fine. We can talk about it endlessly, because we will. We always will. This will be a conversation that will never end in sports debate talk. But to me, I remember going, seeing my ex-wife in Madison when she was going there, and we go to this party, and we're hearing all these people talking, man, Ron Dane's here, and I am so excited just to be in the room that Ron Dane is in.
Yep.
He's an amazing athlete and all this, and I want to see how big he is and all that and everything.
Big dude, makes me look small.
I see Mr. Dane, and he is over there mowing down food.
Attaboy.
Because they're asking like why he's not partying or anything like that. He's eating because they don't have the money to feed themselves. I've heard Desmond Howard recently talking about how he went and saw his kids at Michigan and what they've got now, the stack that they've got and everything.
Yeah.
Man, Desmond Howard went out there and won that Heisman on hamburgers, like cold hamburgers. These athletes are entitled to payment. Up until the point of, I think, when you take into scholarships and some of those things, I think that does even some of it out. But when you're talking about, go ahead and try to buy a jersey from the University of Wisconsin right now. Are they going to give it to you? No, no, they're going to charge you $70-$80 for that thing.
Yep.
And that money is not going to any of these players. If you want to get rid of NIL, I'm okay with it. If the universities get a salary cap and they start shoveling out this money themselves, because none of this money is coming from schools.
Right.
None of this money. None of
backers
it.
And everything like
schools
that.
Schools aren't in debt about any of this. The schools aren't hurting from any of this stuff. And I don't think there's enough evidence yet for us to see if Wisconsin or some schools can hang with other schools. I think that on the surface, that's easy to see. But then why is a Vanderbilt or some other schools like being able to spend and able to compete right now where they weren't able to in years past?
Yeah.
I think that in some ways it evens it out for some schools. Just like you said, it's a case-by-case basis.
Right.
When you compare this school to this school, you're probably not going to see the same balanced budget. That's why, going back to the original point here, we need a governing body to put some laws into place and give some structure to this.
I guess football and basketball, obviously two different sports, goes without saying. But you watch March Madness. I mean, now you're seeing more and more low seeds beating high seeds because that margin of error, that margin of talent difference is so small between those top, your blue bloods to your Joe Schmo, you know, tech universities that come in. Nothing against tech school. I'm a mid-state grad, go Cougars.
Yeah.
But
same here.
But the thing is, the talent gap is shrinking so much because the athletes are so much bigger, stronger, faster.
And you don't see, especially in basketball, you don't see these kids staying anymore. So they don't have a chance not only to develop, but to build chemistry or to build a team around or anything like that. That college basketball used to be one of my favorite things in the world. And now I watch it out of habit.
Yes.
For the most part.
Yeah.
Just because I like it and I know that I know these teams and stuff, but I don't get into it like
there's
I used
to. There's no football
to.
On. You know, that's,
exactly.
That's,
just being, I mean, honest.
We're in that lull until I can actually go and try to plug a turkey or something.
Need that sports fix? I'm going to get it somehow.
Yeah. Start getting the shakes.
Exactly. We're going to go ahead and take a time out. We'll come back and wrap up the show. Michael and James taking you through an afternoon of Playmakers.
Temperatures are falling. The dew is cold and crisp and your breath is hanging in the air. It's time to dress in our favorite Wisconsin attire. It's hoodie season. This season, show your personality through your clothes by customizing your long sleeve shirts, sweatshirts, sports workout gear, and more. Don't let today's style wear you. Call Wham Incorporated today. 715-423-9465. Be bold, be you, and be confident. Wham Incorporated. 8th Street South, Wisconsin Rapids. 715-423-9465.
Pete Schwaba. On the next Nightlight, I'm joined by legendary performer Charo, Jesse March from the Festival Theater in St. Croix, and King of Queens writer, executive producer Rock Rubin joins to discuss the show's legacy.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. I have some great news for our money. The Fed just cut interest rates for the first time in 4 years. This means that buying a house or a car is about to get a little easier and a little cheaper because loans are going to cost less. It might be time for some refinancing. And my favorite part is that credit card interest rates should also be coming down. This is because inflation is under control. The Fed is the Federal Reserve. It's the central bank of the U.S. They kept interest rates high because they wanted to bring down inflation. And the current administration has done a lot to curb price gouging from corporations. So now inflation is low enough that the country's top bankers, the folks at the Fed, have cut interest rates. It feels pretty great to share some good money news. I'd love to hear yours. Drop me a comment on any one of my videos over at Work Money Media on YouTube.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Midday Magazine, talk radio that speaks with you, not at you. Join the conversation 4 to 5 Monday through Friday as we discuss local issues, events, and more. We'll be here interviewing some of your favorite local people. And find the podcast at civicmedia.us. Midday Magazine, a dialogue like no other, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A clear sky tonight, a low around 50. Mostly sunny and warmer for tomorrow, a high in the upper 70s. And near 80 degrees and mostly sunny Friday. For the upcoming weekend, more sunshine than clouds and temps stay mild with highs around 80. Right now it's 73.
Welcome back, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. Michael and James taking you to the top of the hour. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. Keep in mind, 705 Luke Fickell Show right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM. We'll be looking forward to Coach Fickell joining us. I want to talk a little Bucks basketball with you, Michael, in a second. But I did have one last stat of the show I wanted to get to, and I saved this one because I think it's pretty darn funny and pretty darn good. For those that didn't notice, over the college football weekend, Nebraska lost an overtime game. And that means that Nebraska has gone 8 overtime games without getting a first down or a score.
Good.
I don't mean to pile on them, but to pile on them, I found that hilarious as a stat. I'm sorry, but the majority of the fan base and the fan base that I have ever dealt with out of Nebraska just always seems to come with this entitlement of they deserve this or they deserve that. Even generations that didn't grow up with great Nebraska football feel this way. So I just found it funny.
You run from the Big 12 because you're tired of getting beat by Oklahoma every year. And then you go to the Big Ten thinking you're going to win it, and you get your brains beat in by Wisconsin and Michigan and Ohio State and Penn State and Illinois.
Yep. Yeah, I mean,
the fighting Brett Bielema's? No way.
Yeah, that one was a little surprising even to me. But that's a funny stat to me, man. There is something to be said for, you know, just having some self-awareness, I think. I want to talk a little bit about the Bucks with you, Michael. We got a big press conference coming up tomorrow out of Milwaukee that's going to be talking about some ownership changes. The little bit of news that I've found so far as the Bucks, they're in a joint agreement with a German-based company, Willow, they'd entered this partnership to help environmental things as far as around the Milwaukee area and at Pfizer Forum, and they're going to be having the Willow logo on their basketball jerseys going forward. But you caught something from earlier this month that we wanted to mention as well.
Yeah, it was about 12 days ago,
somewhere around there.
Yeah, it was 13 days ago. Now I got
time is a flat circle. Doesn't matter.
Now I got to find it again. But it was that. One of the owners of the Milwaukee Bucks was going to claim a stake in one of the National Women's Soccer League teams in Carolina, I believe it was, I said, as well as, I forget the guy's first name, but a Louisville grad basketball player is looking to buy a stake in the Milwaukee Bucks at some point and become another shareholder. I mean, I guess he's worth some $600 million.
Seems like a nice guy to add to the fold. Yeah.
That those are the real big things that I've been able to find. Yeah. I mean, I don't think they're going to move him to Nashville or Salt Lake City or something like that. But who knows in this day and age?
We will we'll find out tomorrow, and we'll certainly be covering it on Friday. Friday, we'll also be hearing from Michael, but he'll be on location. He's going to be covering the game and everything, so I don't actually know if we will hear from you or not on Friday, because I don't want to put that on your plate, brother. You might have plenty going on, but if you can, we look forward to talking with you on Friday.
Yeah.
I did want to get, though, by then and by next Wednesday, certainly, we will have our playoffs set in Major League Baseball.
Yep.
Do you want to make a World Series prediction, or do you have anything that you're standing out to you? We were touching on this a little bit earlier. I wanted to come back to it because it felt like you had some meat on the bone there for that you wanted to get into.
I'm just kind of looking at the standings.
It looks like Brewers, Yankees, Cleveland, the Dodgers all made it so far. Philly, Houston, Baltimore.
Yep, Phillies are in for sure. Milwaukee's in for sure. The Dodgers and the Padres are all in for sure. The Mets and the Diamondbacks and the Braves are all fighting. I think the Braves are on the outside looking in. That's going to be interesting. It's going to be Dodgers and Phillies on the National League side getting that first round bye. Milwaukee's more than likely going to get Arizona.
Yeah.
Do you want to see Arizona again after they just... I mean, okay, you came back from an 8-0 lead.
Hmm.
I wouldn't brag too much about that because you were down 8-0. But then again, at the same time, Arizona, what are you doing letting a team come back when you're up 8? Nothing. What are you doing? But, man, the way that they finished, 3-3 against each other this year?
That's a pretty even matchup. I would not want to gamble on that game. You got a 3 against a 6.
You know?
I mean, it could go either way, especially with these home games. The home court for Milwaukee, if you will. I think, too, you've got a really exciting series there because of the closeness of those teams.
And last year, what was it? The Diamondbacks got hot and bumped Milwaukee out in the same situation.
I think that it's a lot more entertaining than the other wild card one with the Mets and Padres. I just feel like the Padres are just going to sweep that.
I tend to agree.
And on the other side of that, you've got the Brewers would play the Phillies if they move on, and the Mets or Padres would face the Dodgers. So you've got a murderer's row. I don't want to play any of those games, man. No matter who I am,
I think it would be the opposite way. Because the one seed would get the lowest remaining seed, I thought.
Just going off of ESPN right now.
Okay.
That is not me being smart. That is me just reading that. But we'll see where that goes. We've got to wrap up the show here, but I'm looking forward to hearing your takes on those. If you got anything, I'm looking forward to hearing it. Well, you hang on to it, brother. That's all right. We'll get to it.
We'll get there.
Great show today. Thanks for hanging out with us, Michael.
Yep, no problem.
Thank you, everybody, for hanging out with us. We'll meet you back here Wednesday at...
This is Locally Grown Radio.